Welcome to this sermon in our sermon series entitled, Jesus' Greatest Stories. Today's sermon title, Life Management. Open your Bible to Luke 16, verses 1 through 13, and let's begin.
Thanks, bro. Hey, good morning, church. Go ahead and take a seat and welcome. Thank you. My name is Chet, and I am normally at West Campus, but I am honored and thrilled to be with you here this morning. I love this church. This is the church where Christ captured my heart. This is the church where God has grown me and given me opportunity and gave me amazing people in my life to pour into me, like Doc and others. And I am so grateful to be part of Christ Church. When I was a teenager, you know, some teenagers, their dream is to be a pro athlete or be a famous musician or make a lot of money. My dream was to be a pastor, and to be a pastor at this church. That was my dream job. And I'm so honored to be able to do that, and so thankful. This church has poured into me way more than I have given to it, but every time I'm up here and able to share the scriptures with you, I count it a tremendous honor. So thank you for that. And I also want to say a big thank you to everyone who came to the stand-in last night and supported that great cause. Thank you for that as well. So I haven't been able to be here for a little while, and I just got to share with you, we had just some exciting changes in my family. In February, my wife and I, well, my wife had this little baby here. This is Emery. There's another picture. Emery Joy Beatler. So we've been excited about that. I just had to make up a reason to show you a picture of her this morning. So I figure if the sermon doesn't go well, at least you saw a cute baby today. So it's not all a wash, but that's Emery. So let's pray and we'll get to the message together. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to live this life. There is air in our lungs this morning. There are gifts that you've given us. There are people around us. There is opportunity. And Father, I pray you would help us to take all that you have given us and to use it for good. Help us, Lord, not to be complacent with your gifts, with your calling on our lives, but help us to make progress and to glorify Christ through that. And we ask in his great name, amen. Well, church, we are continuing this morning the sermon series on Jesus' greatest story. So each week we've been looking at a different parable, a different story that Jesus told to communicate some important truths about life. And I'm going to share with you one from Matthew 25. But before I get into that, my wife and I had a really fun week this week. We did a little staycation, and I had some of my family come in town from California. Here's a picture of them. That's my cousin and his wife and their kids. And he grew up in California, and I've born and raised in Cleveland, but we've been very close our whole lives. When we were very young, someone told us that we should be pen pals. So we started writing each other letters. And it turned out that we both had the same ambition in life, and that was to grow up and be a ninja. So we really bonded over that. I achieved that goal, and he didn't. But we won't talk about that. No, I'm just kidding. But we've been close, so we always try to make it a point to go out there for him to come here. So we've been spending the week together. And one of the things that has always bonded us together is we have a lot of the same interests. And we both kind of got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu several years ago. And he's a wrestling coach and really athletic. And he's always been way better than me. But it's something we bond with, you know, and we can do together. And so every time he comes in, we train a little bit. And we trained this week, and he may have whooped me a little bit, church. I'm not going to lie to you. But after we were done, we were talking about it, and he said, man, you really haven't progressed that much. I was like, go back to California. And he said, yeah, and you get ranks and stuff. He said, you're the same rank. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've had a busy couple years. I haven't been able to train as much, you know, all this stuff. I had a baby. Thought I'd throw that excuse out there. She's only 5 months old. But you know, it's been tough. And he said, dude, you've been the same rank for 10 years. I was like, I guess I'm a little more complacent than I thought. You're right. And then he said, that's embarrassing. And so I said, your face is embarrassing, because when I'm losing an argument, that's where I go. And then I began to think about it. I was like, right, he was right, man. I've been really complacent. And that's the trouble with complacency, because when you're in it, you don't think you are. Or you don't think you're as complacent as you're really being. Can I get an amen on that this morning? It kind of catches up with you. And you sort of realize it too late. And you're like, I wasted all this time where I could have been making progress. Now, when you're just complacent in a hobby, it's not really that big of a deal because it doesn't really matter. It's just a hobby. It's just something fun. But what happens when we let complacency come into our marriages? And we begin to just take for granted our spouse. We begin to stop investing in that relationship. We begin to treat each other in subpar ways, and we just get complacent. And what happens over time? It takes a toll on the relationship, doesn't it? What happens when we're complacent with our families and we have these dreams of being a certain type of parent and investing in our kids in a certain way, but life gets busy and all those dreams and those practices and those priorities that we wanted get pushed to the side. And then we get to the point where we're like, man, I missed a lot of time and I wish I could get it back. Or maybe we get complacent in our spiritual lives. Maybe that there was a day in your life where you were hungry and passionate for God and it burned in you. And today you come to church and you're like, I don't recognize that person because I'm feeling cold and empty towards God this morning. And what was the cause of it? Complacency. Complacency is an incredibly dangerous thing when it affects the important areas of our life. And today, if you're like me, what you will be prone to do is to excuse it, to give yourself permission to say, well, there's this going on and there's that and that's why. And you'll make all these excuses and get caught up in it and sell it to yourself, all the while missing the opportunities that are right before us. And Jesus is going to tell us a story where he's going to say, you don't have an excuse that will fly. But what you and I do have in this life is we have a responsibility to make progress in the areas where God has entrusted to us very special things. And so Jesus is saying our excuses, they have to go. And we have to replace it with progress and a willingness to use what God has given us to make the world around us better. You with me on this, church? And so here's the story that Jesus tells. It's Matthew 25. If you have a copy of the scripture, you can open it and look on with me. It's a long story. I'm going to read a lot, but Doc has told me this is the high speed service of the day. That this is, you know, you are the most hungry service here to learn and grow. And so I know you'll be with me. But 25, starting at verse 14, here's what it says. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now, a talent is just it's a monetary measurement. So basically you just think he just gave them a good amount of money. One guy got a lot, the other guy got sort of a middle amount, and the other one got 1 talent, each according to his ability, and then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once. Notice that word, at once. No complacency there, right? He went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So 2 of them, they get after it. They're like, hey, I'm going to take this and we're going to make some progress. We're going to do something with what's been entrusted to me. But then this other guy, he doesn't do that. He's like, no, I'm going to dig a hole and put it in there. Great idea. And that's what he does. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 more. I've made progress with it. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had the 2 talents came forward saying, master, you delivered to me 2. I've made 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Here's the last guy. He came forward and he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. Now here's the beginning of the excuses. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to lose what you've given me. So I went and hid your talent in the ground. But here it is. It's all there. Maybe some of the moth and ants got into there, but you just wipe those off, and it's good to go. Here's what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to at least invested the money with bankers. Should have just went to Huntington and opened up a little savings account. At least we could have got something on it. Would that be that hard? At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Jesus is telling us this story to help us understand some of the dynamics of our life. And he's showing us that the stakes are high for this gift of life that God has given you and me. That our life and our gifts and the opportunities that we have, God is saying, I'm giving them to you, but I'm giving them to you to make better and to make the world around you better and to do something productive with it. And if you just do nothing with it and you bury it in the ground, then there will come a day where we're going to talk about it and your excuses aren't going to fly. No matter how persuasive they are to you, they're not going to fly. So here's the idea I want us to wrestle with this morning, is that I believe we need to stop making excuses and start making progress. Stop making excuses and start making progress. There are areas in our life where we have been complacent with the things God has entrusted us with. And today I want to challenge you and I want to challenge myself to break out of that complacency and stop making excuses and start making progress. So let me share 4 ideas with you from the text to help us think through it. Here's the first thing that we need to know, that just like these servants, God has entrusted to you and to me valuable assets, valuable resources. Now, it may not be sums of money, but let me tell you what I think some of the things God has entrusted each of us with in this room this morning. It's the relationships in our life. If you're married, if you have a spouse, God's entrusted that person into your life so that you can add value to them and you can grow together and become more of who God has created you to be. They are someone God has entrusted us with. If we have kids, we don't own them. They're on loan from God. And God says, hey, they're on loan, and I care about the influence and the impact that you have on them. The friendships in our life, our church family, we're a church family, and God has entrusted one another, each of us to each other so that we can serve and build each other up and grow. And we all have these assets in our life. Here's the other thing. The New Testament tells us time and time again that every one of us has been given gifts by God to use for building each other up and building the body of Christ up. We call those spiritual gifts. That every one of us, there's an investment from God himself in you. And this investment is something that he says, I'm giving it to you, but I want you to develop it. I want you to grow that gift. I want you to figure out how to use it in the best possible way. I gave you that gift to bless my body, the church, and you're responsible to do something with it. He's also given all of us a life purpose. Church, every one of our lives is eternally important. Your life matters. God has created you to do some good stuff in this world that he wants done. And we get to steward that purpose. We get to live this life and make choices that bring us closer into alignment with it or that drift away from it. And then there's all kinds of opportunity around us to serve and to make the situation and to make our workplaces and to bless those around us. So my point is, we all have been entrusted with something and maybe with someone. And one of the fastest ways to really take for granted and to become complacent in the things that God has given to you and to me is to just constantly compare what God has given to you with what God has given to other people. And to just always really spend your energy being discontent with the things God has given us and the things God has given others. See, the master, not everyone got the same talent, right? One got five, one got two, one got one, but there was a purpose and there was a plan in it. And not all of us maybe will get the same opportunities and the same relationships and the same gifts, but here's the point. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have and focus on how you can make the most of what God has given to you. Don't just scroll through Instagram and Facebook all day, seeing everyone's highlight reel and being like, God, my life is horrible. All these people do is vacation and get promotions and achieve stuff. And I got bills that I can't pay. But instead say, what has God given to me? And how can I use that in the best possible ways? One of my best friends, his name is Levon. And when I think about this parable, I think about his life. Because he did not grow up with much. He grew up in a very rough part of Columbus, and when he was born, both his parents were addicted to crack, and they also dealt crack. And so some of his earliest memories is helping them to prepare it and to sell it. And I mean, this guy did not have any good foundation to start on. He got involved in gangs. He had an older brother, and his older brother naturally got into all that. His older brother ended up going to life in prison for robbing a gun store and killing the owner. And his story is just filled with all these terrible things. And it would be easy for him to make all kinds of excuses for living a life that is destructive and messed up. But he's done just the opposite. At a certain point in his life, there was a cop that was very influential to him and helped him to see that he didn't have to keep going in this life of crime and he didn't have to turn out like his brother and his family. And so the cop kind of let him off and gave him a new opportunity, and he took that opportunity and he did something great with it. He got himself back in school. He ended up playing Division I college football at Akron. He ended up getting into medical school. He ended up realizing, that's not really what I want to do with my life. What I want to do is give people like me opportunity. And today he's a Columbus cop doing for others what was done for him. And not only that, a couple months ago, he told me him and his wife gave their lives to Christ, which was awesome. I was a little mad, though, that I didn't get to lead him to Christ. It's like, who stole that opportunity from me? But when I think about him, I think about there's a guy who maybe in this parable, he had that one talent, but he didn't bury it. He used it. And the point of today is it doesn't matter what talents you have or don't have. It just matters at looking and saying, what has God given me? And how can I take what he's given me and make the most of it? You with me on this, church? Because he's given us all something. Now, here's the second thing we need to realize is that not only has he entrusted us to it, but he's made us responsible for it. So there is a sobering reality to this passage, isn't there? There is this reality that the master says, what have you done with what I've entrusted you with? And there's high reward for those who had used it well and made progress with it. And there's high consequence for the man who just dug it and did nothing with it. And in our lives, we have to realize that we are accountable to God for what he's entrusted us with. I know it doesn't always feel like that in our day-to-day lives. It just feels like we own it, that we can use it, we can spend our time, that we ultimately answer to ourselves. But Jesus is telling us a very important reality, that we answer to God for all that God has given us. And God cares deeply about how we use it. And in a sense, what Jesus is giving us is a bit of a rubric for life. Remember when you were in school, not to bring up terrible memories, but remember rubrics? You get a paper and it tells you how to write it, you know? I was doing some training at Fort Jackson this winter, and we have to write all kinds of papers. And so naturally, the military loves rubrics. And so they would give us all these rubrics, and the instructors would say, hey, you can write the best paper ever. It can be better than anything that Shakespeare ever wrote. But if it's not according to the rubric, you fail. Well, I don't care how good it is. It has to be according to the rubric, and the rubric would be very specific. And Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, at the end of the day, you can do all kinds of things with your life. But if it's not according to the rubric that God has given us, then we don't hear, well done, good and faithful servant. When we stand before God, we say, God, man, God, you should have seen this car that I had. It was awesome. I put hours into this, God, and it was fast too. God's gonna say, yeah, that's great. But what did you do with the gifts I gave you to serve my people? Right, when we stand before God, God's rubric isn't gonna be, hey, all right, son, let's talk about that investment account. What's up? Man, you did great. He's not gonna pull up our Instagram page and say, all right, how many followers do you have? Or check out our MySpace page. Just kidding. It's making a comeback. Just, you might want to get on the front end of it. But he's going to say, how did you use the gifts, the opportunities that you have? That's his rubric. And if that's his rubric, that's the only one that counts, right, church? Your neighbor's rubric doesn't count. My own rubric doesn't count. But what counts is what Christ is asking out of your life. And asking out of my life? And am I living for the right rubric? Here's the third thing. We also have to realize that God's standard here is multiplication, not maintenance. That God says, I want you to make good progress with the things that I've given you. If I give you great relationships and people that I infinitely care about, I want you to pour into them. I want you to love them. I want you to serve them. They're not just here to serve you. You're here to serve them. And I want you to multiply this, the health and the love and the joy in these relationships. These gifts that I've given you, but they're raw. They need developed. They need practice. They need worked on. I want to give that to you, but you are responsible to multiply it. And not just to keep up the status quo. So let me just give you a few quick thoughts on how do we multiply some of the gifts that God's given us. Well, number one, we need a strategy to grow. If you think about the man who had 5 talents and the man who had 2 talents, both of them had some kind of strategy to multiply those talents because they both doubled them, right? Now, I don't know what their strategy was. I like to think that maybe they invested in a Chipotle. Maybe they, you know, opened up an ice cream shop. I don't know. But they had some strategy. Maybe they played the stock market. But they did something. There was a plan to grow and to use what had been given to them. And I think for us, if we feel complacent in our spiritual lives this morning, we need a strategy to grow. Maybe that's as simple as just every day spending a few minutes talking to God. Every day, a few minutes listening to God. As he speaks to us through his word. Maybe some of us, we need to just spend some time thinking, God, who have you made me to be? What gifts have you given me? How do you want me to use this one precious life that I have? Because we only get one, right? How do you want me to use the time and the resources that you've entrusted me with? Now, because at the end of the day, if we go up to God and we say, well, God, I didn't know what my gifts were. I didn't know what my purpose was. I didn't know what you wanted me to do. Church, do you think that excuse will fly? I don't think so. And I think many of us, we will spend hours researching the right grill to buy, right? You'll read Consumer Report. You know, I've done it. I just bought a smoker. I spent brisket as close to Jesus' heart, so I wanted to make a lot of it. And I was spending hours just looking at the right one to buy, but yet then we spend no time thinking about who God has made us to be and how best to be that person in this world. And so what do we need to do? We need to stop making excuses and start making progress and begin to think and pray and have a strategy to grow. Then we need the courage to start. Haven't you noticed in life, sometimes the hardest thing is just getting started. It's just saying, all right, I'm going to just do this now. I'm going to begin to implement this strategy. How many times have we said, I'm going to start dieting tomorrow? Tomorrow hasn't come for 35 years. It's not coming. It's not real. We got to have the courage to start now. And then lastly, we need hope to sustain us. Investments take time. If we want to build a beautiful family, it's not going to happen overnight. If we want to grow spiritually and become the people God wants us to be, it's going to take daily investments that compound over time and end up becoming something more than we are right now. And you need hope to sustain you. Because sometimes you're doing the right things and you begin to think, does this matter? Is this worth it? Will this turn out the way that it needs to? And hope is what keeps us on the path. You with me on this, church? And so we need hope to sustain us. Now, here's the other thing that the parable makes very clear, that if we use well, and if we are responsible with the opportunities we do have now, then God will give us opportunities we don't have. Let me say that again. If you use the opportunities you have now in the right way, then God will give us opportunities we don't have but might want. See, if we're not careful, we can get really frustrated with God and say, God, why aren't you bringing some of these blessings and some of these opportunities into my life? And what Jesus is showing us is he's saying, look, if you're faithful with what you do have, God will promote you with more. But if you're unfaithful, then God is too wise and to do too good to give you blessings and opportunities that we're going to mess up or might become harmful to us. You with me on this, church? And so there is the hope of more opportunity if we are faithful with what we have. And again, it's such a better use of our energy to say, God, this opportunity, this is what I have. Help me to do it in the best way. Help me to take it serious. Help me to appreciate it. Help me to not make excuses and say, well, if only I had all this, then I would be there. But help me to own it and to use it for your honor and for your glory. And here's the last thing I want to share with you this morning, is that this parable, this story, is one of the ways that Jesus loved to teach was through stories. And in a parable, you're really meant to draw out the main themes of the parable. So each parable will have a couple main themes, but every part of the story doesn't always have deep spiritual insight and meaning. That's another type of teaching. It's called an allegory. And an allegory, every part has some deep hidden spiritual meaning, but in a parable, it's more about the broad strokes. And this master, although he represents God at some level and he represents Christ at some level, he doesn't represent him at all levels. And here's what I mean by that. We have a far better master than the people in this parable had. We have an infinitely better master. Let me tell you why. This master, when he gave them their investment, what does the scripture say? It says he left. He went away and they were on their own. And they had this investment and they had to figure out the best way to use it, but it was all up to them. But let me tell you this morning that you have a master who gives you an investment, who gives you opportunities, who gives you gifts, but he gives them to you and then he promises to never leave you and to never forsake you. Your master is with you every step of the way, and we don't have to do it all alone. We don't have to steward all the gifts, all the opportunities that God has given us by ourselves. We have a master that will be with us. We also have a master who is amazing at multiplying the things that we give him. There's a story about Jesus where there are thousands of people that need fed and there's no way to do it. And all that they can find is just this young boy with a lunch. He's got some fish and some bread. And Jesus tells his disciples, hey, let me see that. That'll work. And the disciples are like, no way. Dude, Peter's a pig. You know how he is. That's not going to even get past him. And Jesus said, well, give it to me anyways. And he gives it to him. And what does he do? He takes that lunch. And if you're like me, lunch is a very precious and sacred thing. I will not give it up easily. But he gives it to Christ. And Christ takes it and he multiplies it. And he feeds the multitudes. And then when they collect it back, there is more than what even began. Because Christ is an expert at multiplication. And what we need to know this morning, that what you do have, we can put it into the hands of our master. It doesn't have to remain in our hands only. We can offer it to Christ. We can surrender it to Christ. We say, Christ, I want my marriage to thrive. And so I want to involve you right in the center of it. Would you multiply the love? Would you multiply the joy? Christ, I want my kids to grow up anchored to you, knowing you, loving you, serving you. Would you enter into this picture and show me what it looks like to entrust this opportunity into your hands? I want my life to count for you. And we surrender what we have because Christ is amazing at multiplying the little that we give him and making it into a blessing for others and a blessing for us. Now, if this morning you feel like you're thinking of opportunities, you're thinking of relationships, you're thinking of time that has been wasted, and you feel like, man, there's things that I wish I would have used better. There's opportunities, there's people I wish I would have treated better. There's areas where I became complacent, and Chet, I feel a little bit hopeless on some of these things. I want you to know we have a better master. Because our master says, even if you failed, even if you've fallen short, even if up to this point in your life, every good gift God has given you, you've ruined, you haven't stewarded it well, you stewarded it terribly, even if that's our story, guess what? There is new grace and forgiveness today to create a better future. Your story's not over. If you have air in your lungs this morning, Christ can still make something beautiful out of what he's given you. Even the things that we feel are long gone, there is still hope with Christ if we're willing to go to Christ. There is forgiveness. There is grace this morning. And guess what? We don't have to make excuses today. We can start making progress. We don't have to stay complacent, but we can keep taking steps forward and invite the help of Christ along the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, no situation is beyond your redemption. God, we thank you that you would give us people in our lives that we're meant to pour into. We're meant to build up. We're meant to serve. Thank you that you would give us spiritual gifts and abilities that we're meant to use for each other and for the sake of this world. Thank you that you give us a purpose to live out and that you give us a kingdom to be part of. Father, for all the ways we've mismanaged it, we're sorry, and I'm sorry. For all the ways I've excused my complacency and I've convinced myself on it, God, I ask for your forgiveness. But now today, Lord, is a new day. Your grace is made new this morning. And I know there's hope for me, there's hope for us, and I pray we could leave here and we could break out of our complacency and we could start making progress. Maybe that means just a daily discipline of reading the scriptures. Maybe it means going on some dates with our wife. Maybe it means getting involved in the church and figuring out how to use our gifts. Whatever it looks like for us, show us and give us the courage to start. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.